David Mielczek leads U.S. government solutions for Google. Since joining Google in 2007, he's helped establish and rapidly expand Google's cloud computing footprint in the public sector. David led the effort within Google to certify and accredit Google Apps under FISMA, and he was part of the team that launched Google Apps for Government in 2010. In 2011, Federal Computer Week named David to a list of the top 100 leaders who have played pivotal roles in the federal government IT community. Prior to joining Google, David was a senior manager in Accenture's federal strategy practice. Please welcome David Mielczek to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here in Austin. I'm from our Washington, D.C. office. And so I'm going to start with something a little bit different. A guy from D.C. can't help himself. I'm not sure if any of you have seen this documentary by Ken Burns on the Roosevelts. It's 14 hours. Anybody who's watched all 14 hours of it? Yeah, it's quite a big time investment. But I got sucked into this and binge-watched basically all 14 hours of this story, and it's really fascinating, whatever your political persuasion may be or your view on history. It's a very, very interesting story, and there are two stories of it from this documentary that I'm thinking about. The first is from Teddy Roosevelt, and what I had not remembered from history books in high school or college is that Teddy Roosevelt actually, there was an assassination attempt on him about 100 years ago, and he was actually giving a speech, and he was shot during the speech, and the bullet went through about 50 pages of some papers that he had, and it went through some other items, and it went right into his chest and got lodged in his ribs. This is while he was giving the speech outdoors in Milwaukee, I think. And he went on for 90 minutes to finish the speech, even though he had been shot, and then they took him to the hospital later, and he did survive. That's one story. The other story that that I think about more for the challenge for government and the place that government is in today with cloud computing, and I think Steve did an excellent job in terms of setting this story, is from Franklin Roosevelt. And that is in the run-up to World War II, when our military was far too small to fight the fight that was coming, that Roosevelt and everyone else saw coming in World War II. Franklin Roosevelt knew we needed a lot more in the military, but specifically more planes. And he met with industry at the time, and he met with the Defense Department, and they came together and they said, here is our plan to make 5,000 planes in the run-up to the war. And Roosevelt said, we need 50,000 planes in that same time period. And the defense industry of the day and the Defense Department of the day said, this is impossible. This is not the way we think about this. But they went back and they totally retooled the manufacturing process. They took this big and bold idea and they thought about a completely new way of doing this. And they made that achievement. They were able to make those planes, and we know how the story ends from there. Today, the government is still facing this technology gap. The federal government is the single largest spender on information technology in the world, $85 billion a year. When you take into account state and local government into that, it's probably another, depending on who you ask, maybe $50 billion on top of that a year. So with all of this money being spent on information technology, the government should be the leader in information technology because they're the leader in spending on information technology, but we all know that that's not their position. The government has pretty much continuously been in this gap where they're anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 years behind where the commercial industry is in computing. And that problem over the last 20 years or so has been emphasized or has been getting worse because of the new source for where innovation is coming from. That's from consumer technology. Consumer technology and the pace of innovation there is outstripping what's happening in business and government. That's been happening for a long time. And so the challenge for government is to keep up with that. And when we go around to different government customers, whether they're in the federal government or the state and local government, they're all asking, how can we be more innovative? How can we be more like Google or Apple or Amazon? How can the government not be stuck 15 years behind, even though we have this legacy technology, we have these constraints of budgets and compliance and other regulatory items? And that's where I think cloud computing, different from these other kind of epochs of the technology history, is different. Because cloud computing represents an opportunity for government to leapfrog where they have been before and actually catch up instead of having this problem of being 15 years behind and then they're working on catching up and then maybe 5 years later they're only 10 years behind. There's an opportunity to use this technology to basically erase that gap. And there is a force that government has never dealt with before in terms of what is driving them towards that way of solving the problem in terms of cloud computing. We all know what's happening in the commercial world. The government sees what their own employees are expecting at home, and they expect that when they come to the job at work, but oftentimes it's just not happening. One of the ways that we've seen government take this step into cloud computing is by taking an initial step towards the private cloud. There has been an assumption that the private cloud, by nature of being private, is somehow more secure. The analogy I use is that if you're flying a private plane, a private plane must be more secure than a commercial plane. And that may be true sometimes, but what if that private plane is a single engine Cessna that's piloted by someone you don't know and doesn't have a lot of experience? There is a commercial or a public option that is a lot more secure than that private option. The private cloud will never have the returns that the public cloud has. This is for very basic reasons of just economic principles. You're never going to get the same compute utilization out of a private cloud. You're never going to get the same innovation path or curve out of a private cloud. You're never going to get the same cost reduction capabilities out of the private cloud. So while the private cloud may be a first step for government and what's happening in this revolution and the new way of thinking about things and trying to close this technology gap, it is only a subchapter to where we're headed. The government will and is adopting the public cloud. Public clouds like Google, public clouds like Amazon. That's where this is going to happen. That's how government is going to solve the problem. And the benefits are on multiple scales. We're looking at a 10x cost benefit. Let me give you some background in terms of what we're doing at Google. So since the beginning, since Larry and Sergey started Google in the garage in Palo Alto, we have been working on a world-class infrastructure that we've been building out around the world. This is the same infrastructure that powered Google Search initially and allowed us to make a copy of the internet and search it, going way back to the early parts of the company's history 15 years ago. It's the same infrastructure that lets us do Gmail and YouTube and Google Maps and serve the billions of users that we're serving today. And we've been constantly working on this infrastructure and building out this data center network. We've also been building out a network that is pretty much unmatched by our competitors. We've run cable all over the world. We've run cable under the Pacific Ocean. That has a Kevlar coating so that sharks can't bite the cable and break it. And with this infrastructure, Google is now saying we can bring these consumer technologies to the workplace. Right? They're not only for use by consumers who have become very comfortable with this model, and that's the way they want to communicate. The same way they want to work on their kids' soccer team or plan their wedding or kind of share information with their community organization. Or share things on Facebook. That's the way they expect to interact at work. So Google is making these technologies that we have available for business and for government. And we're investing in two particular areas, and the cloud platform is one of them. The cloud platform is infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. It's allowing you to manage compute, to manage storage, and to manage app services. And this is something that in typical the style of Google we have been iterating on for some time. We started with the App Engine. We're now building out this Google Cloud Platform. We have made a lot of improvements to the product as even just going back a year or so, where we've added encryption, we've added support for HIPAA, we have FISMA certification for the App Engine, and all these other things that you see on the slide here. So we're investing enormously. And going back to the point I made about the public cloud, we've been, as of the early part of this year, passing on the benefits of Moore's Law and reducing prices on the cloud platform pretty dramatically. As the cloud platform is moving forward, and again back to this overall concept of not just doing 5,000 planes, but doing 50,000 planes, this is just a quick overview of where we've been since 2002 in terms of the software and the operating systems that we're using. We started with the Google File System. We had to make a copy of the internet. We started with the Google File System. The Google File System has been overtaken a number of times by kind of different software and file systems that you see here. And the benefit, of course, is that we're on this trajectory, right? We are updating at the speed of that Google is required to do this. And the government is, and even the private sector, is not going to be able to keep up with this pace. To update on this pace and scale, it is not going to happen. So, to place themselves on that same consumer technology curve, the use of these kinds of technologies will allow government to move ahead and to kind of do these transformational things that they are not going to be able to do on their own. They are not going to be able to do in a private cloud model, but is possible in a public cloud model. We're a little bit short on time, so I'm going to skip this and move on to the second area that I talked about in terms of another very important area of investment for us, and that is Google Drive. Google Drive represents the capability for a government agency to store and collaborate all of its data with unlimited storage and make it available on any device at any time. Steve was talking about earlier how, and his quote from Mahatma Gandhi, that initially people will tell you it's impossible. Right? People will say the government can never do something like this, that it doesn't work for the security requirements, that that's just not the way that government works, that government users are different and they can never adopt to something like this. We've been working on this since I've been at Google, since about 2007, And initially, we did hear that the government would never do this. But the government has adopted this platform across federal, state, and local government. So today you have the Department of Interior, 90,000 employees, the General Services Administration, 20,000 employees, NOAA, the weather agency in the federal government, 25,000 employees, the National Archives, they're responsible for the records management of all government data. They are using this platform every day for all employees. In state government, the state of Wyoming, the state of Colorado, the state of Utah, the state of Maryland, they're all using this same platform every single day for their email, for their documents, for collaboration. And they don't have to worry about mobile device compatibility. They don't have to worry about building up their data center and making more space available. They don't have to worry about, are they going to stay updated with where technology is going, because that's our job. That's what we're doing. We're managing the pace of innovation. We're managing the scale and availability. And again, this is looking at what this suite actually does. It's unlimited storage. It's allowing agencies to work in an entirely new way in terms of being in a document. They're writing a policy memo where once before it used to be someone would start it, they would email it to someone else, they would email it to someone else, they'd work on many revisions, there would be multiple different files. Now everybody in the agency, sometimes including the secretary, is working together in the same document. They're writing a policy memo for the White House and updating it in real time. They're not having to worry about their government-issued laptop and where it is and can I telework today or not. They have their files available in a secure manner that's meeting all the government security standards, and it's available on their mobile device, whether that mobile device is an iPhone or an Android device or a Windows phone. These capabilities are available to them anytime, anywhere. So this is another way that government has begun to transform. This is not happening in a private cloud. This is happening in a public cloud. A private cloud is not going to allow the government to have unlimited storage, to be able to share file types that are 5 terabytes, to be able to have real-time kind of character-by-character updates on who's in a file and working on it at the same time. That's not possible anywhere except in the world of public computing. And that's why, just as these agencies have gone in that direction, and they all considered something else first. They all considered, should we have done the private cloud? Should we have done this in-house ourselves? Should we have done this in some other model? But they're understanding that there is no other place that this can happen than in the public cloud, and that it fits with their model. It fits with their model of security, and it fits with their model of doing something big, not just doing the 5,000 planes, but getting to the 50,000 planes. And this is really the summary of our solutions ecosystem for Google. We have this set of applications that I talked about. Google Apps, it's Gmail, it's Google Drive, it's storing all of your information and collaborating on Google's platform. We have search tools. We have geospatial tools, which you'll be hearing about later in the conference, and what we're doing with Google Maps, and what we're doing with making our imagery available to government agencies for them to utilize for various different business purposes. We have the developer platform and the cloud platform that I talked about, and that's so that government customers can build applications and write applications and store information on our cloud. And we have the marketplace where you can develop applications or use applications that have been developed by a third party and integrate them with both our application suite and our cloud platform suite. And again, this is all being run on our infrastructure, which meets the government security requirements, which has amazing availability and is unmatched by others in the marketplace. I'll save us a little bit of time and let us move on to the panel discussion. Thank you.